This Augusta Golf Show podcast is brought to you by Gerald Jones Audi. Inspire design, where emotion takes shape. 4022 Washington Road in Martinez.
Here at Audi, we have some good news to share with the world. Unfortunately, our good news is bad news for our competition. So to soften the blow, we brought in the very best at delivering bad news. Someone's mom.
The Audi A4 is the biggest, fastest, most fuel-efficient car in its class. Oh, honey, I know it's hard to hear, but it'll be okay.
I'm David Jones, inviting you to test drive an impressive new Audi A4 Premium today at Gerald Jones Audi, 4022 Washington Road in Martinez, or visit us on the web at GeraldJonesAudi.com. Audi, truth in engineering.
Paul Farrell is an attorney at the Farrell Law Firm in New York State. He is also the president of CSF Foundation. It is a pleasure to welcome Paul Farrell to the Augusta Golf Show for the very first time. Hello, Paul.
Hi, John.
Thank you for taking some time to do this today. I appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Serious fans of the game of golf are familiar with the fact that Bob Jones spent the last years of his life in a wheelchair or always sitting down and looking very frail. But they're not that familiar with the disease that Jones had. It's called syringomyelia. What is syringomyelia?
Syringomyelia is a fluid-filled cavity in the spinal cord. Each time your heart beats, it pumps blood and spinal fluid up and down the spinal cord and around the brain. And when there's a blockage in the spinal canal, the fluid has to go somewhere. And that generally means it's going to be forced into the cord itself, which then swells and forms little pockets or cavities that are filled with the cerebrospinal fluid. That's called a syrinx, and the disease is called syringomyelia.
Do we not know about this, Paul, because it's rare?
It's pretty rare. We estimate that there's approximately 1 million families affected in the United States with syringomyelia and its related conditions, including Chiari malformation, which is a similar disease of the brain stem.
So what's the mission of the foundation?
Our foundation looks to raise funding for research and also to raise awareness. There's not many people who know of the disease. Bobby Jones is probably the most famous that has it, although from time to time we do hear of additional people who are more of celebrities, including J.B. Holmes, who recently had brain surgery to alleviate the effects of Chiari malformation.
I knew that the JB had the surgery. I did not know it was an affiliated disease as the same as Jones had.
Yeah, it's as I said, syringomyelia, the cavity is in the spinal cord. And with Chiari malformation, it's typically in the brain stem, which leads to, as much as the complications are devastating for syringomyelia, it's pretty much much worse for people who have it, who have Chiari, just because it affects the whole body.
It might be an appropriate time to mention that you have syringomyelia. How old were you when you were diagnosed?
I probably had it since I've been about 28 or 29. I was finally diagnosed when I was 37. I had two surgeries when I was 38 to stop the progression of it, which fortunately were successful, although it's led to me since about 2000 being in a wheelchair because it just affected my legs to the point where it was dangerous to walk. So I decided to switch to the wheelchair to just make life a lot easier.
How does it manifest itself? How does it come on?
It could be something you're born with. But in my case, and in Bobby Jones's case as well, it was trauma-based. I had a surgery when I was 16 years old to remove a malignant tumor from my spine. And although the surgery was very successful, and I kind of went back to doing everything normal, after that, at 16 years old, the blockage developed over the next 22 years or so. And basically, the syrinx formed, and it began to affect my legs very negatively.
You know, you mentioned taking some time to get diagnosed. Again, is that because of its rarity? It's just, it's not the first place medicine looks?
Well, you got to remember, certainly in 1976, when I had my first surgery as a 16-year-old, there were no MRIs. That finally came around like towards the late 80s, I guess, mid to late 80s with MRIs, and it made diagnosis a little bit easier. But it was such a rare condition that it certainly wasn't something my doctors were looking for. In fact, I was misdiagnosed for many years as either having a herniated disc or they thought it might be spinal stenosis. There were a lot of things thrown into the mix there before I was finally diagnosed in 96, I believe it was, that I was diagnosed. The other thing, too, is that you got to remember there was no internet back then.
Mm-hmm.
So really looking up related conditions or trying to find other people's stories was almost impossible at that point. And as the internet developed, more and more information became available. So back when I was diagnosed, we really didn't have that luxury.
We are talking with Paul Farrell, the president of the CSF Foundation, here on our Golf Gives Back episode. You mentioned trauma-based. If I remember, Bob Jones's grandson, has he told me a story about he thinks his grandfather contracted this after a lightning strike?
The story that I've heard and that I've read in a lot of books was that Bobby Jones was coming off the golf course during a very, very bad rainstorm, and a lightning bolt hit the clubhouse and dislodged the chimney, and a chunk of brick or stone struck him between the shoulder blades. And I guess certainly back then, there was less of a chance of getting properly diagnosed than there was in my time and certainly less than now. And I think with him, from what I've read back in the, late 40s, he was finally diagnosed. But at that point, there really was no surgeries or no cure for it at all, much like today. There's no cure. There's very few surgical procedures that provide any relief. And that's what our organization is looking to do, is to raise the money for research and to raise awareness to get more people looking into this disease.
Talk a little bit about that. The foundation and the game of golf have gotten together. It kind of seems like a natural. Talk about the event that takes place now each spring at East Lake.
Well, with the blessing of the Jones family and certainly with their assistance and the assistance of East Lake Golf Club, we started the Bobby Jones Classic for CSF, which is a golf tournament. Always in May. We had our fourth annual classic this past year, and it's become one of our biggest fundraisers. We have usually between 75 and 100 golfers come and play. It's a great day on the course. We have a cocktail party the night before, which is always on a Sunday. We've tied it in with historical tours of Bobby Jones's life around the Atlanta area. And then we have our tournaments, as always, on a Monday.
I guess with its history and with the Jones history, the golfer makes perfect sense. The golfer is a perfect venue in which for you to lean to try and get this disease a little bit more top of mind awareness.
Exactly. I mean, we first met Bob the Fourth during the filming of Stroke of Genius, which was the story about Bobby Jones's life. And Bob the Fourth and the family have been very, very generous to us in allowing us to use the name and the likeness of Bobby Jones. Tying it in with golf was something that I always wanted to do. I was very into golf all my life. Once I went into the wheelchair, it became a little more less of a passion because I couldn't play. But then recently, I live up here on Long Island, and Bethpage Golf Course, which is the home of Bethpage Black, they have five courses there. And New York State now requires each of their state courses to have handicapped golf carts available. So once we started working with East Lake, we were able to get a golf cart down there for me to use. And more recently, we've used some of the money that we have that we've gotten through the Bobby Jones Classic, the donations, to fund a project at Georgia Tech to develop a handicapped golf cart for children. And we're presently working with Textron,
mm-hmm.
the owners of EasyGo,
right.
to bring that cart to market.
Is this hereditary, Paul?
It could be. I think more research is necessary for that, although it's not uncommon for us to hear from families where one of the parents have either Chiari or syringomyelia, and at least one or several of the children have it as well.
Can it strike at any time in someone's life?
We've heard stories where, you know, probably people have had it their entire life, and then were either in like a car accident or had some kind of physical trauma, not along the lines of spinal cord injury, but just something that would trigger either the swelling of the cord or the like the symptoms that come along with it, tingling in the arms or legs, numbness, losing the ability to walk, and other ones that are also related to the condition. But yes, you could have it. And in fact, of the 1 million families that we mentioned earlier, there's probably many, many more that have it, and it's just in a dormant state.
He is Paul Farrell. He is an attorney and the president of the CSF Foundation. Paul, thank you for taking the time to do this. So you're back playing a little bit?
I do. I try to get out once a week.
Good for you.
I'm hoping to get out tomorrow.
Good for you.
There's a few courses on Long Island here that are New York State courses. As I said, Beth Page, and then there's Montauk, and I play both courses quite often.
Paul, thanks for taking the time to do this. I appreciate it.
Thank you, John. I appreciate your time.